Championship Barbecue begins with the rub. And if you want Championship Barbecue at home, try Caroline's Rubs. Caroline's Rubs are used by restaurants, championship competition teams, and commercial operations. And you can use them to make better beef, pork, turkey, and chicken, seafood, vegetables, and game. Caroline's Gourmet Dry Rubs, hickory smoked salt, and seasonings are all natural and contain no flavorings, MSG, or anti-clumping agents. Visit carolinesrub.com and order the Sweet Maple Rub, the Aussie Steak Rub, the Texas Chili Seasoning, an award-winning blend of Tex-Mex flavors, the hickory smoked sea salt, or design your own dry rub kit with any four of your choices. And get this, Caroline's Rubs are so sure you'll love their special flavors, they even offer a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Your money back if you don't like Caroline's Rubs. And there's free airmail delivery on any order to the U.S. and Canada. Call Caroline's Rubs toll-free, 866-827-1085. That's 866-827-1085. Or visit carolinesrub.com. Welcome to the Barbecue For You Show, the show where we talk about all things important to the world of barbecue. From big-name interviews to advice on cooking briskets and ribs, you'll find it right here on the Barbecue For You Show. If you're interested in learning more about barbecue, log on to our website at www.bbq-4-u.com. Get connected to the best forum on the internet. And now, here's your program host, Greg Rempe.
Thank you, Jim Morgan, and welcome everybody to another edition of the Barbecue For You Show. Tonight's guest has been competing in state barbecue championships since 1996, and after winning the Georgia State Championship in that year, went on with a first place in pork in the prestigious American Royal National Championship, and has since compiled numerous awards. In 2002, she decided her love of barbecue and experience in catering would be the perfect combination to begin Woodchicks Barbecue Catering and Competition Team. State competitions continued, with the most recently winning the 2004 North Carolina and the 2003 and 2004 Virginia State Barbecue Championships. Due to growth in demand, Woodchicks Barbecue has opened two restaurants, the first in February of 2005 and a second location in February 2006. She's also made a number of TV appearances to include The Today Show, The Travel Channel, 700 Club, Food Network, People Magazine, and most recently competed in the National Barbecue Championship Challenge, which aired on the Versus Network. She's taking time out of her busy schedule to chat with us for a little bit tonight. I am talking, of course, about Leanne Whippin. She joins me right now.
Leanne, thanks for taking the time out to join me this evening. How are you?
Very good. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's a pleasure. Certainly my pleasure to have you on. Leanne, if you could go ahead and give us a little background, kind of your personal background about yourself, and then we'll get into more of the barbecue end here after that.
Basically, I was raised in New Jersey, and my dad was into barbecue as I was growing up, and that's where it all started, and lived there pretty much all the way through college, and then moved around afterwards.
So aside from your dad probably being maybe one of your major influences of getting into barbecue, is there anybody else that you were looking at as you were coming up through the ranks as something that inspired you to continue with barbecue?
Well, I basically had a love for food and cooking my whole life, you know, through my mom and dad, and then got more specialized, I guess you would say, in the barbecue, and just continued forward with that.
I was reading in your background that you do have on your Woodchicks Barbecue website that you were doing, was it hotel catering?
Yes, right out of college I started in hotel catering and did that for 15 years, working with Hilton and Hyatt Hotels, and did a lot of off-site catering, was in Atlanta and did some high-end catering for the Super Bowl as well as the Summer Olympics, so I had a lot of catering experience.
Now, was that catering just your traditional, you know, higher end meal type stuff, or were you trying to fashion your craft at barbecue at that point?
No, I really did. I actually did some kosher catering, as I said, off premise, and then also just traditional catering. And then in 1996, I started my first competitions in barbecue.
Did you jump right into a pretty major event, or was it something that was more local?
It was a Georgia State competition in Stone Mountain, and my dad had a Oklahoma Joe, and I asked him to bring it from North Carolina and come up and just go ahead for the, you know, fun of it, go ahead and compete. And there was an optional whole hog category, which we decided to do, and took a 90-pound hog up there and competed, and there were about 96 teams, so that was my first competition.
Now, it also said your catering and your competition kind of started off in the same year, barbecue-wise. Is that the case?
Well, the catering, as I said, I've done for about 15 years.
Right.
And then I started competing, you know, part of the way through that, and then it kind of snowballed into catering and barbecue, and that's kind of how I started the whole business, was, you know, the love of both.
But it wasn't paramount that one was being tremendously successful first before you started putting your foot in something else?
No, not at all.
I also read that you managed a first in pork at the American Royal. That must have been something awesome.
It really was, and I didn't realize how big barbecue was at the time, because that was the first year that I won, you know, the Georgia State. And going in there, it was quite overwhelming to see all the teams there and how big it was. And to win it, quite frankly, I didn't even think a whole lot about it when we won, but now I look back on it, and it was very big for us. And you know, it's kind of like when you win something like that and also a state championship, it's kind of like, I don't know, when you win a competition, you just want to keep going with it. And I see that a lot out there too. A lot of these new teams go and they win one, and, you know, it's like their whole life is almost automatically devoted to it.
Right. Do you think it played any type of positive to the fact that you were just starting out in competitions and you weren't necessarily intimidated, or, you know, you weren't necessarily steeped in the mystique of the American Royal?
No, I just went in there, just wanted to have a good time with my dad, and really, it was a long haul. I mean, it was 2 days of competition, because you're competing in the Open and the Invitational.
Right.
So you're staying up for two nights, so that was kind of grueling, and it was cold, and but I just loved the whole entire thing.
Were you competing under Woodchicks Barbecue at that point, or were you under a different name?
At that time, no, we were competing under a team that my dad actually came up with, a team name. It was Team Boris, and they have a mascot in the town of Tryon, North Carolina, and it's a horse, and its name is Morris, and so that's kind of, I don't know, he came up with Boris because of the hog and all that, so we were under the name of Team Boris at the time.
Have you ever competed against your dad at a barbecue competition?
I have never competed against my dad, although there's been a couple things that we talked about, maybe competing as two different teams, but it hasn't happened to date.
Would you like to go head-to-head with him and see who's making better barbecue at this point? Would that be a friendly rivalry?
I wouldn't mind it, but it would be kind of weird, just because, you know, we, over the years, we've competed together. And certainly sometimes you could, you know, have a bad judging score when, you know, your food necessarily wasn't, you know, worse than the next person. So you can't really take it to heart. So I don't know that it would be a bad or a good thing. I mean, I wouldn't have any problem doing it, and I don't think he would either. As I said, we've talked about it, but it's not something we've done already.
How many events are you currently competing in during the course of the year?
Well, because of the restaurants and the demand there, I'm only doing about 4 or 5 a year, but I do hope to increase that to about 8 or 9 this year.
Do you have anyone in particular that you're marking out on your calendar that you want to be a part of?
Well, definitely, you know, ones that are close to home, so I don't have to travel. So that would be, you know, Virginia State. And, of course, every year I do the North Carolina State. And I'll be coming up on my 6th year doing Maryland State. And, you know, there's a few other ones that I'm looking at. So it's a matter of logistics and how it works out with the restaurant calendar.
Now, if we can kind of switch gears a little bit to barbecue competition per se, there's a lot of people on, at least on my particular barbecue forum, that have seemed to have gotten into the competing side of it recently. You're a well-seasoned competitor on the circuit. What are some of the tips that you can give someone that's looking to get into the competition side of barbecue?
Well, of course you have to look at, you know, what kind of event you're going to go into, what kind of sanctioned event. If it's going to be Kansas City Barbecue Society, or if it's going to be Memphis in May. KCBS is, you know, the events that I go in, and that's a lot of it has to do with, I believe in blind judging, not the dog and pony type of show. I like to be judged on the merit of the barbecue and not on the visual. So I'm a big believer in KCBS, and also they have a lot of state events all around the country, so it makes it very convenient for people to compete, you know, probably, you know, close to their hometown where it's not going to cost them a lot of money to travel. Also, you know, when you win a state championship, then you get your invitation to the Royal and into the lottery of the Jacks. So, you know, you have two big events that, you know, could be also on your plate as well.
Are you familiar with the fact that KCBS is now going to start instituting some trials on new judging criteria throughout the course of next season?
There's been talk about it. I'm not sure exactly what that's going to be. You know, the judging criteria actually has changed quite a bit over the years that I've been involved with it. The scoring, for example, has changed. If you notice, a lot of teams out there don't get the perfect 180s anymore because of the scoring change. And we were seeing a lot of, you know, perfect scores, and I think that's why they changed the scoring to make it a little bit more competitive. You know, I think it's been good. There's a couple things that I'd like to see changed in the judging, and that's predominantly in the chicken. You see a lot of teams turning in thighs, which, you know, is okay, but I think you should be judged really on the merit of cooking a whole chicken, and that's something that I'd like to see changed down the road.
If you're going to be judging a whole chicken, then isn't there a number of different pieces that's up to a judge to decipher, you know, what's going to be scoring the best?
Yeah, you have, you know, you've got that 9x9 box to deal with, and it's hard to fit, of course, a whole cut up chicken in there, but you certainly can get enough pieces, you know, a breast cut into pieces and say, you know, a wing, a thigh, and a leg, where it, every time you don't go in there and you see six thighs,
right.
Thighs are very forgiving. And I think that if you're judged on cooking white and dark meat at the same time, that it becomes more competitive and you're really judging, you know, the cook on what they can do with, you know, those different kinds of meats. Cause it really is difficult to cook them all perfectly because obviously, you know, your temperatures on a thigh are going to be higher than on the breast meat. So it's very challenging. And I think that would bring more to the table if they would do that.
How do you go about bringing something up like that to KCBS to consider revising and implementing?
Well, certainly you can go to the board members. You can, you know, put in suggestions. They're very open to, you know, whatever's out there. I mean, that's what they talk about in their meetings, I'm sure, is response from teams and members. So it's something that you need to bring up and discuss. And, you know, hopefully there'll be other people that will back you and, talk about it and, you know, be discussed. And, you know, just like the whole scoring thing that changed, you know, that was a matter of a lot of people talking about the changes that need to happen. And then it happened.
Leanne, if you need any help, I'm on a first name basis with Jim Minion. I can make the whole thing fly. Don't worry about it.
Okay.
I just remember the question I wanted to ask you before. Because you cater as well as compete, do you find that when you're competing, you're making your barbecue one way, and when you're catering, you're making it a completely different way for a consumer?
Yes, catering, restaurant, and competition is a totally different ballgame. I know that if I try to use my methods of competition and the overall costs, actually, and the time involved, and try to incorporate that into catering and restaurant, it would be basically impossible for me to do. Certainly there are some things that, you know, will, you know, stand true as far as dry rubs, you know, woods and the length of time of cooking. But a lot of the things that you stay up all night and babysitting your food with, you cannot do in a restaurant or catering. It doesn't make sense. And you just physically can't do it.
Do you make your own sauces and rubs when you're competing, or do you use somebody that's selling their stuff?
Actually, the dry rub that I use is my dad's dry rub, pig powder, Trim Paz pig powder, which is available, you know, on the internet. I use that also. in the restaurant on all the meats. It works well on chicken, beef, pork, and ribs. So it's really no secret out there that that's the dry rub that I use on everything. Sauces, I do make my own sauce, and there's a couple sauces that I combine that I use for competition. But I use, basically, I have some bottled sauces, mild and spicy, and we make a vinegar sauce right at the restaurant that I use at the restaurant. But I do different things at competition.
What kind of wood do you use for your smoke flavor and why?
You know, I find that hickory and apple are a good combination for most meats, and that's what I use at the restaurant. In competition, though, I do like to use a little bit of pecan on my chicken. Occasionally, I like to experiment a lot. I mean, I'll use cherry, you know, sometimes on ribs. I probably have 8 different kinds of woods that I keep at the house, and I experiment with different woods all the time. It's kind of a mood thing, I hate to say. I really don't use the same thing all the time. But for my competitions, I have found that through experimentation that hickory, apple, pecan, and actually sometimes I use oak.
Do you inject your butts or briskets or both?
You're going to laugh at this. I never have, never ever have beef. Never had injected a pork butt. Heard about everybody doing it on the circuit. You know how, you know, they just put so much in it that it blows up. And
right.
When I was at this, when I was doing the filming of this thing out in Reno, the National Barbecue Championship Series, you know, everybody, it was almost like pressure to inject, you know, the butts. And when I found out that was the category that I had, I thought, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and try this. And you know what? To do that at that event was pretty risky because I don't like, you know, trying things, you know, at a competition first time around. But I did. I ended up injecting at that particular event. And I really wasn't pleased with the quality of the pork that we had, and I was glad I did as well as I did, but quite frankly, the pork butt that I did on the show was nothing compared to normally what I do, and I don't know if that was from the quality of the pork or if it was from injecting or what, but certainly I like to experiment with different things, and I'll try it again, but that's the first and only time I've ever done that, so.
So how do you explain, and maybe it's more of a, you know, just a personal taste issue, if the one time you do it and you're not necessarily happy with it, and all the other ones you've done previous have been spectacularly better, there's
yeah.
obviously people out there that are injecting butts in competitions and winning. What do you credit that to?
I don't know, and I've seen it a lot over probably the past 5 years. People with these huge injector needles, and you know, I look at them like, oh my gosh, you know, should I be doing that? You're always looking to see what's going to be better for yourself down the road, but I stick by my standard and I've done very well with it. I've achieved, you know, a bunch of 180s. And I seem to win first in pork in a lot of different events and never injected. So I don't know. I need to try it more down the road to find out if it's going to make my product better.
Well, it sounds like it's hard to pick something and it ain't broke.
Yeah, exactly. And I guess that's my whole thing. But, you know, as I said, I try different things. I try different sauces, rubs, marinades, mops, and brines, whatever. I'll try anything to make it better because I'm sure it always can get better. So I don't do the same thing all the time.
As far as the teams that you're competing with, is everybody pretty much open and willing to talk about what they're doing or are they friendly or is there quite a bit of either outright or hidden rivalry amongst the teams on the circuit?
I have found that everyone's quite friendly. There's a lot of communication prior, you know, to actually, you know, putting your meat on, that kind of thing. Everyone knows that once your meat's on and, you know, all your prep is done and, you know, you kind of stay out of people's way. You aren't spying on each other. I mean, that's just not the right thing to do. And then a lot of these guys that I've known over the years, we talk about different things that we do. I don't divulge my, you know, total secrets, but I like to chat with them and find out what they're doing that's new or what they like. You know, no specific sauce things, but just some methods. I mean, we like to talk about it. That's what we do. And you kind of know where to draw the line. And I haven't really found anything between teams or any personal interactions with anyone that's become vicious or anything like that. It really is quite friendly, although we all do want to win.
Yeah, of course. That's why you're doing it. Do you find that this is like the barbecue circuit is a good old boy and you're kind of, you know, having to work your way in being a woman, or is it more just if you have the skills and you're taking home the trophies and walking the stage that your respect is due given?
It is tough being a woman, no doubt. Fortunately, if you win repeatedly, you start to gain a little bit of respect, because that says a whole lot. Obviously, it wasn't, you know, luck of the draw. So over the years, I think just with consistent wins, you gain the respect, and, you know, it is what it is. And I've been very fortunate with, you know, everyone that I've met in the circuit, and they're all just great people. And if anything, you know, they're almost patting me on the back, like, good job, you know, and if I beat them, you know, they can handle it. If they beat me, I can handle it. And it's, I don't know, it's kind of fun.
If you had your choice, aside from the obvious answer would be both, would you rather win the Jack or the American Royal, and why?
I've been in the Jack 2 times in the lottery and didn't make it in. That's my new goal, of course. Not new goal, but my ongoing goal is to make it into the Jack. But, I mean, either one would just be huge, just because you're with the best of the best. There are more teams competing in the